Whistle Monster? Have you seen the Whistle Monster? Yeah, every time that you, how many people watch the New Orleans Saints? Just two people. Come on. You know you're going to watch the game right after this service. Yes, you are. And so I love sports. I love the series Get in the Game. And how many people have seen the Whistle Monster in action? You have seen him, heard him. And so maybe you've heard him on a certain team. And I think I love the New Orleans Saints. I think announcers love the New Orleans Saints because the fans are so crazy. Can I get an amen? So like they have the Pope in the fans, you know, the Whistle Monster. I don't know who else I'm missing, but there's a lot of people who get really excited. The Mafia is in the house today, the New Orleans Saints Mafia. And so there's people that really love the New Orleans Saints. In fact, some of you even have the jersey on, and you know we're not even close to the Super Bowl yet, right, Mr. Leonard? But he's just believing in faith that we will come in and have a part of the Super Bowl. And I thought, wow, I love the Saints. I do. I love New Orleans. I love the Pelicans. I think they're going to do good this year. And I get excited. I have jerseys. I do wear jerseys. I wear Pelican stuff all the time. I believe that one day we're going to beat everything for the NBA. I love basketball. And so today, the title of the message, as we close out the series, Get in the Game, is Go Therefore. And I love this sermon. I love what God is going to do in this sermon. And promote your team. Everybody say, promote your team. And I would be God's team above anything else. Let's pray, and then we're going to dive into Matthew chapter 28. God, we pray for your presence, your anointing, and your power. God, as easy as it is to cheer for our team, whatever our team is, God, I pray that you will give us the power of God. God, that we will not be silent, because I think the enemy has been trying to silence this generation. God, I pray instead that we would use our mouthpiece as a piece for you. You and for your glory, and to tell others about Jesus, because this is not forever. This home that we're in right now, this flesh and bones, is but for a moment. It's a breath, and then we die. And God, then eternity opens up, and God, eternity is for everyone. But as easy as it is to say that, God, we know that not everyone, because of the price that Jesus paid, gets heaven. And so, God, help us to be busy about promoting you and living for you and your kingdom. And God, we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Matthew chapter 28. So we're going to start in Matthew, but today we're going to take two passages, not common for my preaching, but I felt like the Lord gave me these two chapters. And so we're going to read Matthew chapter 28. And this is the culmination of everything that you've heard in the past 5 weeks. We talked about playing for God's team. We talked about, Pastor Ted talked about that. We talked about hearing God's voice, listening to the voice of the Lord, following the rule book, understanding the rule book. Jeremy spoke an excellent message on how to not become disqualified, but to qualify, that Jesus qualifies us, but then sometimes all of our junk can get in the way of the team that we're promoting. And so we encourage you to do all those things, to pray and to seek the Lord and ask God, what is it that you have for me and my family? How can I get in the game? And then last week, Pastor Ted preached a hard message on how to serve, what it looks like to serve in real ways to advance the kingdom of God, that not one person can do everything, but that all of us are called to do all things so that Christ can get the glory. And so today we encourage you, if you were not here, grab a sheet, fill it out, and say, this is how I can help. Maybe you could be a van driver, a nursery worker. Do you know that we van in 2 or 3 vans every Wednesday night into service? And so help us, because we need desperately your help. Matthew 28, are you there? Say, go Saints. Unless you're from Cincinnati in the house. Okay, Matthew 28, verse 16, it says this. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when he saw them, they worshipped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to him, all, everybody say all. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So Jesus is glorifying himself and talking about himself. And he says, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go therefore. Everybody say, go therefore. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them. Everybody say, teaching them. to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so we see the last words of Jesus. The last words of Jesus have to be our greatest work. The work that we were assigned to. Well, the reason why, if you gave your life to the Lord, you are serving him and you have been saved. You have become a follower of Jesus. You have asked him to forgive you of your sins and that you have put your trust in Christ. The reason why when that happened, that you didn't immediately go to heaven is because you have an assignment. You have a commission that God has given you to do a work for him. And yes, that's serving at the church. And yes, that could be greeting or driving a van, but it's much, much bigger than even that. See, I like that I have an assignment. I am an assignment-driven person. You give me an assignment, I will finish it. Jesus, at the end of his life, before he goes back into heaven, simply says, go therefore and what? Make disciples. He says, go therefore and teach someone about what it is that I have taught to you. Now, it's interesting because normally I would just sit and rest here and dissect this verse. But the thing is that when the New Testament was written, whenever you're looking at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, it was actually stories that they were telling because they believed, the disciples believed that Jesus was going to quickly come back. And so you would see the stories of Jesus being told over and over again. Actually, the first book written in the New Testament was the book of Mark. From Mark came two other letters, Matthew and also Luke. And so you see at the end of Matthew, he's sharing this story, but this would have been written 60, 70 years after the death of Jesus Christ. This actual text would have been written that much, that long after when we have seen and known this story. So what happens? Do they follow the command of what Jesus has taught them? Do they go therefore and tell others about Jesus? Turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here is where we're going to stay for a moment. So look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you are taking a guess, this letter is written to Timothy. It is not the first letter, it is the second letter. You're a good guesser. Okay, so, and thank you, Pastor Ted. And so we see 2 Timothy, and so we see there is some connection that happens between Matthew, go therefore, and tell the nations and make disciples that happens. And in between that time frame of Matthew and to the book of 2 Timothy, we see people that do the very thing that God has called them to go therefore, tell someone about Jesus, and not just tell them about Jesus, but make disciples. And we're going to talk about that for a moment. One man that did that was a man named Paul. Everybody say Paul. Now, we have a slide about this. We have a picture of Paul and the influence that he had. But when the church got started in the book of Acts, we'll see the church get started and people like Peter are standing up and telling people about Jesus, and 3,000 people are coming to get saved. And we see this amazing power and anointing that falls on the church after the day of Pentecost. In fact, we believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is for the gifts, but it's also to be influenced, to have a strength and a boldness to tell people about Jesus. In Acts 1:8, it says, for you shall receive power. Everybody say power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witness. So the power of the Holy Spirit is primarily to witness of who Jesus is, to tell of his goodness. And they got busy. The church got busy. In fact, in Acts chapter 9, there's a man. His name is Saul. And Saul is busy, but not for the church. He is busy killing Christians. He is a murderer of Christians. He's a Jew, a devout Jew, and he hates this thing called the church. He hates what God is doing through the church because it used to be that he was in charge and everybody knew he was the greatest of Jews. And now this Christian movement is coming where they say of Jesus and they say of his name and that he can forgive you of all these sins. And so here we see this man Saul on his way to kill Christians, and he's on his way and he has an encounter with the Lord. And that man has an encounter so big. You ever had an encounter with the Lord like that? Where like your whole life changes around? That happened for me when I was 17. That's another sermon for another day. And so he had an encounter with the Lord, and there's a light that comes from heaven, and he says, Saul, Saul, God does, why are you persecuting me? Which simply means, why are you killing all the Christians, dude? And so he looks at him, and he says he has an encounter, and he can't see, and everybody else is sort of freaking out, and he walks into a city, and he goes and finds a man named Ananias. Now, Ananias knew that in order for God to move, you have to pray. Everybody say pray. That's why you can't do Hope to the Streets on Sunday without being full of prayer on Tuesday. I'm going to say that again. You cannot be full of the power in telling people about Jesus unless you are full of a time in prayer. The enemy will attack you. He's going to attack you either way. But you had better make sure that you have been spending time on your knees, letting the Lord know of the things that are going on in your life, because the enemy is real. And they knew that this guy Saul was a big deal. So Ananias was empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he is praying for this guy. And he knows that he's a killer of Christians. And Ananias, whenever Saul finds him, he finds him praying. We have to be a church that prays, because we're a church that's going to the streets. So if we're going to be a church that goes to the street, we also have to pray. We have to spend time in the presence of the Lord. Come in on a Monday morning. We have the CD play, and come in and pray. We are here, my friends, 8 until 5 every single Monday through Thursday, and sometimes Fridays and sometimes Saturday. But for sure, come in and spend some time at the altar praying for someone who doesn't know Jesus. If you're serious about sharing the gospel, about telling people, hey, this is a big deal, get on God's team, you have to pray. You have to spend time with the Lord. And Ananias is praying, and this man named Saul comes in, and Ananias tells him about Jesus. The scales lift. God changes his name. Guess what his name becomes? Dun, dun, dun. Paul. And so Saul becomes Paul, and Paul writes 13 letters of the New Testament. I said 13 letters of the New Testament. And guess which one he writes? 2 Timothy. Now look what he says to Timothy. We're there. I got you there. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, you then, my child. Who's the child that he's speaking to? Us, yes, 2,000 years later. But at this moment, who is he speaking to? Timothy. Paul is speaking to Timothy because Timothy is a disciple of Paul. See, this is someone that Paul has invested his life into. So whenever Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples, sure, he says, go therefore. But it also, as an attachment to that phrase, is and make disciples. And Paul does both, my friends. He goes on mission trips, yes, but then he also spends time pouring into someone. And so my question is, who is the Timothy that you're pouring into? Who is it that has shared the gospel and now you need to grow, and you've grown up in the Lord and you know the Lord and you've walked with the Lord? Who are you pouring into? That's what Paul said. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says this. It says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust. Everybody say entrust. Entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now look at that. We're going to go back to that slide. We're going to stay on go therefore. So the commission as we get into the game is to go therefore. Now that sounds scary. How many people have told someone about Jesus this week? Don't raise your hand. Just think about it. Have you told someone about Jesus this week? Now, this gets intimidating because the world, more than ever before, I find, is a little bit less Jesus-y, if we can say that. There's a lot less people that are interested in knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the younger that person gets, I find it's even more. I work a lot with young people, and so I see a lot of young people. 10 years ago, I would tell someone about Jesus, and they would listen to me. Now, in today's time, I'll tell a young person about Jesus, and and they'll laugh at me. That's just truth. And so they don't have anything to do with the Lord. They're an atheist because of things that have happened or because they don't want to follow under the lordship of Jesus. And so I see more and more we're in this culture that says, I don't mind being good. I don't mind something positive. Positive is a new power word, if you would. I don't mind something positive, but don't tell me that Jesus said, I am responsible, because I don't want that. I want something positive. I want something encouraging. Yet Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. And so there's a big difference between those two sayings. And so Paul has entrusted it to Timothy, and he says, go therefore. You have an assignment. You have an assignment. Jesus gave us a commission. He gave us something to do. See, when it becomes us four and no more, there's a problem. When it doesn't burden you that there are more shootings on the east side of Houma than there ever been, there's a problem. Whenever we're okay with this convolution that's into our schools, that Jesus does not have to be recognized, there is a problem. When you have lost the fire to reach your coworkers, remember whenever you used to want to tell everybody about Jesus? And then now you see that fire waning, there is a problem. You have lost sight of your assignment. The assignment for you today is eternity. See, there is a real eternity, realer than what we can see in this room right now. The Bible is clear about that. Jesus talks more about hell than he actually talks about heaven. So the very person that we worship, the Son of God, Jesus, talks more about hell as an eternity than he does in heaven. Now that's scary. And nobody wants to hear in that because we want to RIP, rest in peace. We don't want to talk about where are they for the rest of their eternity. Sure, Pastor, can you come and preach at the funeral? But don't be too messy. Don't say too much about Jesus. Just make sure everybody knows they were a good person. But good doesn't get you in. Jesus gets you in. Jesus gets you into the kingdom of God. Jesus himself said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's Jesus. That's not my words. That's his words. And I don't care what that causes in a conversation. We have to be busy about telling people about Jesus. Psalm in verse 2 and 8. We have it on the screen. Psalm chapter 2 in verse 8. He says, ask of me and I will give you. Everybody say, give you. The nations as your inheritance. So God promises that we can have the nations. You know, that's awesome. You don't have to have money to do this. You don't have to have a good name to do this or be very popular in your place or in your society. All you have to do is ask of God. Everybody say, I will ask him. So all you have to do is ask him, and he says, I will give you the nations as your inheritance. So our job is to ask God in prayer. God, I pray for that person. God, I pray that their eyes would be lifted from the blinders and that they would see Jesus. God, that you don't even have to talk. All you have to do is pray and put that before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we pray that you will begin to move and shake and go. And God, that you will give me the nations as my inheritance. And you say, well, miss, I'm never going to another place. That's okay. Jesus stayed in a 30-mile radius. He never went larger than 30 miles. He poured his life into 12 people. One person denied him. Those 11 people took the commission and went therefore. And now today, 2,000 years later, we see the goodness of the gospel. We see that Jesus has gone therefore and made disciples that make disciples that make disciples. You might not be able to go to the Philippines or Nicaragua or El Salvador or Vietnam or Africa, but you can preach the gospel right here. You can talk about Jesus. You can make it a part of your conversation. You can invite someone to church. That gets scary, right? Because some people look at me and say, oh, I don't want that. We have a thrift store right behind us, and you know that. And it supports our ministries. And so I walk in there sometimes, and just to hand a card for somebody to go to church, they look at you like you're stupid. You ever been looked at like you're stupid? You are looking at someone who has, it must have stupid written on her head, because people just look at me like, what are you talking about, church? I don't need church. I don't need Jesus. But it has to be a part of who we are. We have to be kingdom-minded. You have to pray for your inheritance. You have to go to Hope on the Streets. Next Sunday, join us 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock. You know that LSU game lasted a ridiculous amount of time yesterday. If you watched it, that's good. But I'm saying that was 4 hours of craziness. And I just think that we can spend a lot more time advancing the kingdom of Jesus. And those are good times, but I'm just saying, come and be a part. Stop to someone and tell them about Jesus. But don't stop there. Go therefore, and then the Bible says, make disciples. Go back to that slide with Paul. Let's look at that again. What is a disciple? A disciple is a follower or a person who strongly believes in the teachings of that leader. So in this case, because we believe in who Jesus is, that we're going to follow the traditions and the teachings of the Word of God. And so this thing doesn't just get caught. I can't just throw this out here and be the best sermon ever. And you're like, wow. And 10 minutes from later, you're like, I don't even know what she talked about. She was just wearing cute boots. And these are from the thrift store. And so here we see you discipleship becomes harder, because discipleship is something that we look at and we tell them about Jesus. They come to know about Jesus, but then we're pouring life into them. Look at the slide of Paul again. We're going to go back to that slide with Paul, and look who Paul is. Paul is in the center. But then Paul invests his life into some other people. You may have heard of Timothy. That's the book that we're reading right now. But then you might have heard of Silas. You might have heard of Titus. You might have heard of Priscilla and Aquila. And what 2 Timothy 2 tells us is that if we come to know Christ and someone has invested into us, then we are to share that with someone else. So you go out to eat with them and you talk about the things of God. You invite them over to your house and you talk with them about the things of God. You have a text messaging conversation for all the young people in the house, or Snapchat, or whatever it is that you do in the next 10 minutes. You have a conversation with them and you talk to them about the things of God. How are you reading the Word? Is God speaking to you? I have 4 kids. My 2 little girls, they don't know how to pray. I'm just being honest. They don't know how to pray, because kids really don't know how to pray. And so 2 years ago, God spoke to me, said, teach them how to pray. Okay, I'm a disciple, my own 2 little girls. We get a prayer journal. We write 2017 on the prayer journal. And we don't do this all the time. But sometimes we'll take it out, and we have a prayer request list, and we're just praying for things. Well, 2 weeks ago, we took it out, and we read from the beginning to the end, 2017 to 2019. And do you know that God had answered some of my second daughter's prayers to the T? She had prayed for one little girl by name, prayed for that little girl to come to know Jesus, and 2 or 3 weeks ago, we see her walk through the church of Hope Community Church. That's an answer to prayer. And she's just like freaking out, like, Mom, I can't believe that little girl came. And I said, yes, baby, because he heard your prayer from 2 years ago. And you might not see the result of it until now, but what am I doing? I'm just investing into them how to pray, how to have great faith, how to live like Jesus would. And so their journal is just getting full up. And now we're praying for everything, right? Because God answered one prayer. He's answering them all. And so I got 2 little girls that are praying, and I'm investing into them and saying, this, my girls, are the kingdom of God. And that's what we have to do. We have to find people that are faithful, that are available, that are teachable, and you invest and you pour into them and you disciple them and you allow them to breathe and move. And then you take the background and they take the front ground. They begin to look a little bit better than you. And they go to some places you can't ever go to because you got things to do, or you got 4 kids and you can't do what you used to do. But those people take the shine. Why? Because you have invested and made disciples that made disciples. Look at Paul. He invests into these people who then teach it to what? Reliable. Everybody say reliable, because that's important, right? To invest that into reliable people that then bring it to others. And as you you can tell, 2,000 years later, this multiplication method of discipleship was effective. Because here you are sitting here on the east side of Houma, and you have a commission to go there for. Tell someone about Jesus, but not just to do that. Find two or three people that you can invest in, that you can pour into. Why? Because you know that your life is fleeting, and that if this kingdom movement is going to last 10 more years or 20 more years or 100 more years, it's going to be on the fact that we took time to disciple people and pour into them and teach them how to read the word and teach them how to grow in Christ so that they can go from milk to meat, right? Because milk is good whenever you're a kid, but meat is much better when you're an adult. Can I get an amen for all those people that love some kind of meat? Making disciples is hard. It's easy to tell someone about Jesus. It is a harder thing to invest into someone because they can turn their back on you. Because they can hurt you because you've invested into them. And they can break your heart and they could quit following Jesus. But it doesn't mean because it's hard that we're not to do it. And I've been in a place in my life for the past couple months where it's just been hard. I have never in my life had so many people say so many things about the gospel in the past couple of months. Just people just making fun of Jesus. And I know it's a lot of young people, and I try not to let it down, but I'm human. And I feel like that it's just been an oppression. I feel like disciple making is hard because I've seen people that I've invested so much of my life and my time and all these things, and I see them for a moment and I don't see them following Jesus anymore. But it doesn't mean that we are to quit. It doesn't mean that we're to say, oh, okay, enemy, you won, you got those disciples, so I can't go and get some more. We have to live with the kingdom mindset. We have to look at ourselves and say, are you going there for, and are you pouring into someone that is making disciples? For me, Brandon, can you come on the stage? We're going to hit on that synth. I have someone. So I preached this message to youth. Probably better. Y'all are a little bit scarier to me than young people. And I said, you know what? I'm going to ask someone who is my Paul. My family did not know the Lord. We were on our way to crazy. I just being honest. If you know the story of my family, my dad had walked away from the Lord. He lived in Ohio. He came here and just went nuts because South Louisiana is crazy. And he walked away from the Lord. I didn't know the Lord. I was born into like just crazy party scenes. I remember my relatives coming in and just partying. That's all I remember. I grew up and kindergarten, first and second grade, I did not know Jesus, my family. We never, ever, 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 ever went to church. And for a year, my mom had been praying, knowing that if we continued this lifestyle, we were going to lose it. As a family, I have a sister. I also have a brother. And she just prayed, God, if you're real, would you send someone to tell us the truth? And she just prayed that honest prayer. And you know, when you pray like that, God will send someone. And in the crowd today is the very man that led my family to Jesus. Would you please welcome up my next door neighbor, Mr. Bob Moat. I'm going to let him tell the story. About a year ago, he comes to this church right here. He says, Tara, I know you started a church with your husband. And I just cry. And if you know me, I don't cry. Because I know this is the man that listened to the commission. He listened. And I don't know how intimidating or scary it was to go there for. But he came to my house, stopped in his car, and told people about Jesus. Me and my family. And I want to honor the man that changed the life of my family, that changed the life of my sister, my brother. They serve the Lord. Our families serve the Lord. But it all started because of this man, like a Paul type, right? that invested, and not only did he invest in us, we went to his church. He discipled my daddy, who discipled us and took care of us. Please give a warm welcome to Mr. Bob.
All I can say is, wow. The first time I heard Tara preach, I said to myself, Philip, the evangelist in the Bible. There she is right there. She's an evangelist for God. And I thank God. Have you met my friend? He's right here. Do you know him? Are you a hope Christian? Or a hope so Christian? Or an almost Christian? In 1982, I think it was July the 9th, there was a plane crash in Kenner, Louisiana. I'm gonna get to your parents. The Pan Am flight, 759, I think. The plane crashed after taking off at the airport and literally destroyed almost an entire neighborhood in Kenner. It was 1982, there's some people here that were around 1982, I think. The airplane engine stopped at the back of my mom and dad's house. Before that was complete utter destruction and death. It knocked my daddy off the sofa. My daddy was a Bible reader. Mama was a Bible reader and prayer. But Mama was a hope-so Christian. Because I asked Mama one day, and this is the greatest blessing that God has ever given me. I asked Mama one day, are you sure you're going to heaven? Mama said, I hope so. And I said, no, no, Mama, I know so. We're going to pray right now, and you and you and Daddy are going to heaven. And we prayed Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. They did it. Guess what? That was a week before Pan Am crash. They didn't die, but it was close. So, again, I ask you, do you know my friend? Well, Tara must have been around 3-4 years old, 1981-ish. What Tara doesn't know is I was in the process of building the house next door to y'all. I'd already basically given my life to Christ. I'd given my business to Christ. The power of God was so strong one day next to your house, and God spoke to me audibly, first and last time. My daughter had graduated from South Terrebonne, a sunshine girl, cheerleader, majorette, friends with everybody, good girl. Had a friend that turned her to the wrong way, to a place that all I can strive to you is hellhole. I knew where she was. My wife knew where she was. I had the power to go down there and get her out. I had the authority. I was a special deputy. Still am. I was up on the ladder in the bedroom doing some electrical work, and I felt like I was having a heart attack. I was so brokenhearted for my little girl to be in that hellhole. I came down off the ladder. I was on the floor. God spoke to me. He said, very simple words, "I don't need your business. I have everything. I want you. And by the way, 24 hours, your daughter will be back home." Now, how do I know it's true? Because it happened exactly like he said it. The power of the Holy Spirit was so strong. Now, how do you straighten out a girl that's been in drugs? Has anybody had problems? You don't have to raise your hand. It's so prevalent all over this country. God's a miracle-working God. Never heard of this particular ministry in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Had never been to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And God sent us there to a woman that loved God so much. Her name was Bonnie Dawson. She took my daughter, and she loved her, and she walked her back to Christ. She gave her heart to my daughter. Oh, there's people like this today. Her daddy, I told her the other day on the phone, he's a super daddy. A young farmer boy from Ohio comes to Burk, Louisiana, and marries a Cajun girl. Ooh, what doc do we have here? Does anybody know? You know, I got some notes here, but I don't think I want them. Stock. We're talking about animals, whatever. Pedigree. Thoroughbred. Rodney's a thoroughbred. Anything that needs to be done, Rodney knows how to do it. He does. I mean, I've seen so many things that that man has done. Here's one of them right here. Look what the Lord has done through Rodney and Tara. Oh, my God. What a thing God has done in your life. Oh, my goodness. There's a song. Hold this for me. What's the song? Can y'all hear me? Because I'm not used to the microphone. Everybody hear me okay?
Yes,
sir. Good. I'm talking about stock. Rodney came. Oh, let's see. 1,500 miles. Came 5,000 miles from London, England to home, Louisiana, and married a girl. There's something about home. It must be special that my grandpa had to come all the way from London, England to home to marry a girl. I did the same thing, but only went 50 miles. I was not looking for a girl at that time. 1953. My brother had married a girl from Homer, too. My brother kept saying, "Come on to Homer. Come on to Homer. I'm going to go to Homer. What's a Homer?" Finally, he convinced me one day to come to Homer. And I walked in his house and met with him. Oh, my God. Beauty queen. She was. He was on a beauty court at Terrebonne High School. And it's like, I saw her. I mean, all wet, butterflies and crazy. Prayer woman. exactly what you said. The fun I have is I go into Walmart. And I want to say something about what you said earlier. Luke chapter 10, I'm not going to read the whole thing. 27 says, love the Lord with all thy heart and thy neighbor as thyself. Well, it just so happens I had some babies that were so loving and they cooked so good. And Rodney being a former boy, I mean, he could take the mud and chop it up and put some stuff in fertilizer, natural fertilizer, and he'd make that throw. He still can do it. Of course, I was kind of raised similar to that. We had our own vegetable garden. We had potatoes, not beef, whatever else, chickens, pigs, oink-oink. Anyway, you were talking about power. As I was praying on this today, okay, the Lord gave me a picture of a battery. And on a battery, and I think most batteries, car battery, cell phone battery, they have a minus, negative, and a plus positive. Without being grounded in the Lord, there's no positive.
Yeah.
You've got to be grounded in the Lord Jesus to get the power of God. So when a woman's spirit moves on, there's a dead spirit. And red depends on you. This song was written.
Sorry, it's not the one.
This song was written around 1904 and by a woman called Sevilla Martin. And I'm not going to sing the whole song for you. I'm going to try to sing it. It's called His Eye Is Upon the Sparrow. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Matthew 10, 29, 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Would you give him... Change the life of our family. You can still stand. Sam, I'm going to have you come up to the front. We're going to close out. The commission, the way that this is supposed to work, the way that this, people say, well, don't you get tired of serving Jesus and of Christ? Mr. Bob, if you will stay right there for one moment, can you stand with him? This man poured into the life of my family. And weirdly enough, over time, I've been beginning to take this as a mission. Okay, God, who have you called me to? How do I go there for and make disciples? And we had an internship program at our nonprofit for Hope Extreme. And weirdly, I got to, and Brandon doesn't even know I'm going to say this, so I'm just saying it. And so we got to pour into some young people at the time. Brandon was young. And so, and you still are, but I got to pour into him and to speak life into him. And then he went to the streets of the east side of Houma. And we talked about this Wednesday in our youth group, and we met someone named Sam. Now, Sam, I'm going to have you way on this side, on this step right here. Okay, so just stand on this step. Now, Brandon went into the streets, and he told about Jesus, and Sam accredits his life in the way that he sings and the things that he does. He told me this on Wednesday. He told the youth. He accredits it to Brandon, who I poured into, who my dad steps in the middle, if you would, Ted, just take the place of my father, who was affected by Mr. Bob. So today, not only do we have, so this, if this was Mr. Bob's spiritual kid, and then I'm his, what is that, grandkid, then we got a great-grandkid, and then we have a what? A great-great. Am I doing this correctly? So today, Mr. Bob, I want you to meet one of your spiritual great-great-grandkids. Would you go and give this man a hug? Because you don't know what's going to affect someone 10, 20, and 30 years later. Our assignment is the same. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Can we pray, God, our mission as we walk out of these doors is to tell others about Jesus. God, we don't care if they say some things or talk about us. God, help us to tell others, Lord God, to make it our mission, like Mr. Bob said. Have you met my friend Jesus? And if not, can we tell him about you? Not just to be hope-so Christians, but God, to make sure that our foundation is firm. And then would you help us to pour into some young people? God, find some people to invest in that say yes, like Saul, Paul said to Timothy, like Mr. Bob said to my dad, like Brandon said into Sam. God, help us to invest into some people so that they can go and find some people that make disciples, that make disciples. God, we give you all the praise and all the glory because it's only because of you that this happens. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. We love you guys. Come and meet Mr. Bob if you want to after service. We have the thrift store is open. We love you. Come and find us for prayer and praise. Sign up at the welcome desk. Bring in your visitor cards. We can't wait to see what God does. In Jesus' name.